Would you please bow your heads and let's share a word of prayer together? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your faithfulness and your loving kindness. I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for preserving our lives. Thank you, Father, for every good thing that you do for us. Lord, how you watch over us, how you keep us, our going in, our coming out. Lord, how you preserve, how you bless, how you favor us. We are thankful to you. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that is with us in this service tonight, everyone under the sound of my voice, all of my brothers and sisters and all of their loved ones. I thank you also for those that will join this service after tonight, those that will listen to this teaching. I pray, God, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit might be here with us. Precious Holy Spirit, we yield to you. This is your service. You are the great teacher. So teach us out of your word tonight. Give us understanding and illumination. Grant me utterance to be able to speak your word clearly, 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 boldly, unhindered by any kind of distraction or satanic forces. I bless your holy name, O God. I give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. And thank you again for joining. Welcome. Hallelujah. For a few weeks, several weeks actually, we have been talking about the seven most important power points in praying for yourself. And for several weeks now, I've lost count, we have been learning, discussing together around the Word of God on the fourth power point, which is asking. The power of asking, that power point of asking. And we have learned so much. I don't have a lot of time to do much review tonight. I just have too much material. So if by any chance you are able to, please go back and listen and refresh your memory. The Word of God is so rich. Please don't take it for granted while we have it. Please go back, refresh your memory, and refresh your spirit. Get a good foundation for everything that we're learning tonight. We have discussed and we have learned that asking is made up of three major components. Asking can be defined in three broad ways as consisting of three major things. The first one is to articulate our request. The second thing is to present them confidently to the Lord. And the third thing is to have an expectation of a favorable response from him. Asking is so powerful. The Bible says in Matthew 21:22, all things whatsoever you shall ask for in prayer, believing, you shall receive. All things. He didn't even qualify it. So we learned a lot about asking aright. But lately we started to talk about also having a right standing when we ask. Because asking aright is one thing, but actually standing right is a totally different thing. Because you can be asking right, but if you're not standing in the right place, if your asking is not effectual because of where you're standing, then your asking right wouldn't matter anyways. We started to talk about the things that impact, the factors that impact our asking. That give them credibility, that give them strength, increase the likelihood of our asking being received by the Lord and producing answers so that we can receive when we ask. We learned from Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24, it says, "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear them." That's a promise. It's a promise to all of God's people. But we know everyone does not get this. Everyone is not standing in a place where this is happening in our lives. And so what we have been doing is endeavoring, learning, and endeavoring to move closer and closer to this place where when we ask, before we actually ask, the Lord is already doing things. Before we even finish verbalizing, he's already bringing to pass the requests that we articulate before him. We've identified already one major factor that impacts our asking. That is our sacrifices. We know for sure being pleasing to God, living a life of obedience, and doing the things that are pleasing in his sight. See to it that our requests are answered. We're told that in 1 John chapter 3 from verse 18. 1 John chapter 3 verse 18, we've read this scripture before. Let's read it one more time tonight before we get going into the more powerful things that the Lord has for us. 1 John chapter 3 verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let us love in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and he knows all things. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. Verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, because we have this confidence towards God, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We've already learned one of the major ways in which we demonstrate our love towards God. One of the major ways in which we obey his commandments. One of the major ways in which we are pleasing in his sight that impact our asking is in our sacrificial giving. Our sacrifices, our gifts, our vows impact our asking. If you missed that last week, please, I beg you, please, please, go back and listen to that teaching. Go back and study it and study that and get into it and receive everything that is therein. Your giving, your sacrifices impact your asking. Solomon declared his love for God, expressed his love for God by his sacrificial giving. So did Nehemiah, so did Hezekiah, so did Hannah. So all of these people in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Cornelius expressed his love to God by his sacrificial giving in Acts chapter 10. And the Bible says, God has heard you. Your arms have risen. Actually, let's read that, shall we? Thank you, Holy Spirit. I didn't plan that, but let's read it. Let's read it. Your offerings, your sacrifices impact your standing when you ask. Not everybody that asks, even when they ask right, have a good standing. And so, not everybody really can receive. You know that. You know that. Look at it in Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, who gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. The Amplified Bible says he was a devout man who venerated God and treated him with reverential obedience, as did all his household. That's what we read in 1 John 3:18, 18 to 22. And he gave much alms to the people and prayed continually to God. And he saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. Glory, 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 God. That's the Holy Spirit right there. I didn't even prepare that scripture. I did not even prepare that scripture. Your prayers and your alms, he said. This may be strange to you, like I said last week and the week before. This may be strange to a lot of believers, but your sacrificial giving impacts your asking and your ability to receive. You are reading it from the word now yourself. It's not a strange preacher preaching a strange doctrine. Some, you are reading it yourself. He said your alms, your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial. Listen to how the Amplified puts it. Your prayers and your generous gifts to the poor have come up as a sacrifice to God and have been remembered by him. have been remembered by. What the Bible says, Hezekiah, when he prays, say, God, remember me for the sacrifices, the good deeds, the good works. Hallelujah. Remember me. And God remembers in prayers, in our asking, God remembers sacrificial givers. Your giving, your gifts, your sacrifices, impact. You're asking. Hallelujah. I have to be very, very careful with these services because, you know, sometimes I go on in the Spirit and just keep going in the Word as I sense the Holy Spirit's leading and liberty. And, you know, I lift up my eyes and the time is all gone. And I'm having to do in three services things that I thought I was going to do in one. And that is not bad in itself because it's the Lord leading, but there's a part of me that wants to move on. So I won't stifle the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to do my best to keep moving. Your giving, I don't care how long you've been in the kingdom of God, as I said last week or the week before, people who have been in the kingdom of God the longest generally have this tendency to block their ears, block their minds, and block their willingness to hear this part of the kingdom of God. Because they think, I've heard it all. No, don't tell me that. I've heard it all. I've tried it. I've been there, done that. No, it's not true. Don't let the enemy cheat you out of your blessing. You're giving. The Lord said this to Cornelius. I did not even plan. I did not prepare this scripture. It's not in my notes. God is my witness. And as soon as I opened my mouth tonight to start preaching, start teaching, thinking I was going to go right ahead, and get into my second point, which I'm devoting this service to tonight. Here the Holy Spirit brings Cornelius in the New Testament. In the New Testament. I know I've talked to you about Hannah. I've talked to you about Hezekiah. I've talked to you about Solomon. After all of that, yeah, but you say, oh, that's Old Testament. No, but this is New Testament right here. Hallelujah. Oh, saints. And if you have been a sacrificial giver, like we received last week. Just you go on. You put that thing before the Lord. Heaven remembers you for that. And when you come and when you ask and when you pray, let that give you greater confidence. You see that? Let that give you greater confidence. Say, Lord, remember me. Remember my giving. And he will. He's faithful. He will. Hallelujah. Woo! I feel the Lord already. We haven't even done 15 minutes in this service. Hallelujah. His presence, his glory is already all over this place, all over this teaching service tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to move on to our second point. I told you altogether I have chosen to focus on three main things, main factors that impact our asking. There's more, but I've taken three of the most important ones. And that's what we're focusing on. And I want us to go to the second one now, right now. I just sense we're there. Let's go there. The Holy Spirit brought us there. He brought us there. Close by. We're just around the corner. The second important factor that impacts your asking and your ability to receive whatsoever you ask of the Lord is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. Oh, how many believers don't know this? So many believers just want to come in and go out and come in and go out whenever they want, and they want to ask whenever they are pressed. They want to pray whenever they have an urgency, and they want heaven. They want every open heaven. No, your faithfulness. Your faithfulness to God, your faithfulness to the Lord, your faithfulness to his word, your faithfulness to the assignment he's placed upon your life, the assignment he's giving you, the instructions he's giving you, impact your asking. Impact very strongly your ask. They qualify you to receive when you ask. So why don't I say it right here? Before I go too far, let me say it to you. Faithful people, people who are faithful to the Lord, faithful to their assignment, faithful to the instructions God has given them, faithful to the kingdom of God, have the best standing to receive when they ask. People who are not faithful to the Lord, not faithful to the assignment, not committed, not consistent, not loyal, not dependable, reliable, have the poorest standing. I don't care how many formulas they use. They have the poorest standing when they ask to receive. Your faithfulness puts you in a good place to be able to receive from the Lord. Let's go on real quick. The Lord, I told you, the Lord brought us right there, brought us just next door to where I thought we were going to start from tonight. He brought in Cornelius. That's not in my notes. I have to remember to go put it in my notes so later on I can have it. If you don't mind, I'm gonna put it right there right now under your sacrifice, Cornelius. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10 and verse 1 to 4. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are so awesome. You're so amazing. Now, let's move on. Go with me to Acts chapter 16. We're right next door to that. Acts chapter 16. Your faithfulness impacts your asking and your ability to receive from the Lord when you ask. Your faithfulness. Whether you are faithful to the things the Lord has given you or not. Whether you are faithful to the Lord, whether you are faithful to His assignment upon your life, whether you are faithful to His instructions to you, whether you are faithful to your commitments, the commitments He asked you to make. Your faithfulness has a great impact on your asking and your ability to receive when you ask. Let's read about this young woman in Acts chapter 16. Her name is Lydia. Let's go to verse 13. Acts chapter 16, and let's read from verse 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. That's the King James way of saying a place where people went regularly to pray. That's the King James language for describing a place where people went regularly to pray. The Amplified says a place where we supposed there was an accustomed place of prayer. An accustomed place of prayer. People went by this riverside to this place by the riverside regularly to pray. There are times, there are days that they went there to pray. And when they got there, we sat down, he says, and we spoke unto the women who resorted there. Some of these women who went there regularly to pray. Your faithfulness many times expresses itself in how regular you are in the assignments and commitments that you make. How consistent you are. How reliable you are. How regularly you do the things that have been assigned to you. I tell you, you are in a far better place when you are faithful to the Lord. Listen to this. And verse 14, a certain woman, one of the regulars there, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worship God. She heard us, whose heart the Lord opened so that she could attend. So she attended unto the things that were spoken of by Paul. Because she was there regularly. She was committed regularly, consistent. It was easy for the Lord to open her heart, to hear, to receive, to touch her. through the things that Paul was teaching. I want you to look at verse 15 and pay very close attention to this. And when she was baptized, she and her household, listen to this, she besought us, she requested, listen now, she requested, she made requests, she articulated, she asked, besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. If, notice condition, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And the Bible says, and she constrained us. The Amplified Bible, she induced us. She induced us. She constrained us. She made us. She made us do it. It wasn't her, it was her faithfulness. Notice what, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, then do this. That was her request to Paul. And that carries a principle, a kingdom principle. When God judges us to be faithful, our faithfulness induces him. Our faithfulness moves his hands. Our faithfulness constrains him. Our faithfulness makes him our faithfulness. Lydia said, if you have judged me to be faithful, well, let me ask you, what if Paul didn't judge her to be faithful to the Lord? Do you think he would have granted her request? No, he would not. No, he would not. Hallelujah. Do you think if the Lord doesn't consider us faithful, do you think a lot of our requests even register with him? No, they don't. No, they don't. Lydia said, if you have judged, your faithfulness gives you good standing. Your faithfulness impacts your asking and your ability to receive. Your faithfulness does. If you have judged me to be faithful, the word of God says, look at that scripture real quick, a couple of scriptures there in Proverbs. In Proverbs 25:13, it says that a faithful servant is like cool, is like a cool water, cool drink in the time of snow during the summertime, sweltering heat. A faithful servant brings a refreshing to their master. Your faithfulness refreshes the heart of God. There are not many things that are as pleasing to God as the faithfulness of his servant. Not many things. Because there are not many faithful people. There are not many people faithful to the Lord. There are even so many people who talk so much about how faithful they are in life, how faithful they are to people, how faithful they are in their relationship. But they are not faithful to the Lord. They are not faithful to, they are the most inconsistent, most irregular, most unreliable. But when God finds faithful people who are faithful to him, they refresh him. They refresh him. Look at it. Proverbs 25, I think it's verse 13. He says, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For he refresheth the soul of his masters. Hallelujah. As the cold of snow in the time of the harvest, that's during the summertime, during this hot heat. You know how refreshing, how cool the snow can be if we had it in the summer? If we had snow in the summer, many people would be really glad. Not in the winter where we just don't want it. It's already cold, but we have this snow. We don't need it. But if we had snow in the summer, when it's hot and hot and hot and uncomfortable hot, everybody would want to live there where there is snow in the summer. Because it would just be cool. And the Bible says, A servant who is faithful brings a refreshing to his master, like snow in the summer, like a cold drink in a hot season, hot time, hot day. Our faithfulness makes us pleasing to the Father. Our faithfulness impacts our asking. When a faithful person asks, heaven listens. When a faithful person, actually you saw that even in Cornelius, I didn't plant that scripture, but even with Cornelius, because he was just faithful. He didn't even know much about the new covenant. He didn't even know a lot of spiritual, he didn't know a lot of spiritual things, he was just faithful. And just consistently did what he did, consistently prayed, consistently gave, consistently prayed, consistently gave, consistently prayed, consistently gave. And finally, an angel came and said, the Lord has paid attention. Your faithfulness draws you. And you know, Proverbs, same Proverbs 28 verse 20, what does it say? A faithful man shall, or woman, shall abound with blessings. A faithful man or woman shall abound with blessings. Proverbs 28 verse 20. A faithful man or woman shall abound with blessings. And you know, a lot of what we ask is tied to blessings, some blessing or the other. So when you are faithful, you are bound with results, with answers to requests that you make. The blessings abound when you are faithful. A faithful man or woman will abound with blessings. What about someone who is unfaithful to the Lord, unfaithful to their calling, unfaithful to their assignments, to the instructions that God gives? Will they abound with blessings? No, they will not. They can ask a million ways using a million different formulae. Formula this, formula that, principle this, principle that. Will they abound with blessings if they are not faithful? No, they will not. No, they will not. It's just a spiritual law. Your faithfulness impacts, has a great impact on your asking and receiving. Your ability to receive when you ask, your faithfulness has a great impact on your ability to receive when you ask. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see some of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ himself said in the Gospels. Let's read just maybe one of them. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. These are spiritual principles that impact our asking. We're talking about what are the things. He said in Isaiah 65 verse 24. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear them. And we are endeavoring to be in that group, that privileged group of people that the Lord is talking about there. Because it's not everybody. It's not. Some people just ask and ask. They call and call and call and call and nothing. And some other people, before they even call, God answers. We want to be among those, don't you? Don't you? I want to be among those people. Hallelujah. Your faithfulness impacts your asking and receiving. Your standing in the place where you ask. Your standing, your right standing. Faithfulness. Let's read just a few verses here in Luke chapter 16, what the Lord himself said about this subject. Luke chapter 16 and from verse 10, he said, he that is faithful in that which is least, that which is small, is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. Let's stop there. What the Lord is saying there is, if you are faithful in little, he knows you'll be faithful in much. So when you have a little, and you come to ask the Lord for more in any area of your life, whether it's more, you want more of the anointing, more grace to do whatever you are doing, more a favor in life, more strength, more abilities, Or maybe you are asking for more in your relationships, more in the material things of life, more resources, more finances, more of this, more help, more love, more joy, more peace. All these things that we ask for. Well, faithfulness puts us in a good place to receive more. When we are faithful, we receive more. If you ask for more and you are faithful, you will receive more. How about if you are not faithful? If you ask for more, no matter how many ways you ask, how many formulae you use in asking, how many principles you quote, how many scriptures you present to the Lord in prayer, when you ask, if you are not faithful, when you ask for more, you will not receive more. It's very clear from the Word of God. So faithfulness imparts asking. Let's keep on reading here. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much. Verse 11, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, talking about money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Stop there for a minute. If you are not faithful in the use of money, the Lord said, who will commit to you true riches? And you know, true riches are these true riches, grace of life, true riches, joy, health, favor, goodness, mercy, true riches, the anointing, grace, empowerment from the Holy Spirit, true riches, ability, enhanced abilities to perform, to produce, to deliver. These are true riches. The true graces of life. He said, oh, so you can ask for those graces, but if you are not faithful in the use of money, the Lord said, you can ask a million ways, using a million different formulae to pray, a million different scriptures to present this need, to ask for more of these true riches. He said, but you won't have it. But if you are faithful with unrighteous mammon, the Lord is the one said it's in red. And you know, unrighteous mammon is money, material things. If you are faithful in the use of material things, we've talked a bit about that when we talked about our giving, sacrifices. If you are faithful, he said, then you may not even have to ask much. In fact, before you finish asking, the Lord may be pouring out true riches upon your life. This is very important. Let's keep on reading. And then he said in verse 12, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Do you know there are so many people praying, asking, making requests, articulating requests for things that concern them? They want their own. I want my own house, my own home, my own ministry, my own business, my own children, my own increase. I've celebrated with so many. I want my own. Well, the Lord said faithfulness impacts your ability to receive your own. If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, he said, who will give you? Who will give you? That is, you can ask, but you won't receive it. It will not be given to you. We know in Matthew 7, ask and it shall be given unto you. Well, this impacts what is given to you. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. But he said, even if you ask, but because you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, if you ask, articulate that request for your own, it will not be given unto you. It will not be given. That's what he said. So faithfulness impacts. But if you have been faithful in all these things, then you will be given. You will receive. More will come to you. More. More and more and more and more. Oh, hallelujah. More and more and more. More grace, more love, more favor, more blessings, more peace, more increase. More and more. We'll be sent to you. Even before you ask for more, more will be given to you. Because you are faithful. You are faithful. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Oh, this is such an important concept, folks. Saints of God, this is so important. So many people don't realize just how important this is. We look at so many things in so many areas of the kingdom, so many areas of our walk, our Christian walk, but we don't think of these things that we're discussing tonight as being that important. They are super important. Faithfulness or lack of it can be the determining factor between whether we receive what we ask or whether we don't. Faithfulness. You know, there are so many terms now that people have coined. Some of them even sound spiritual, to get out of being faithful. You hear people using expressions like, you know, I think it's a different season. I think one season is over, another season is, and they are the ones saying it. I know one season is here, one season is that they are the ones who have determined that. And nobody around them actually, not the people that really understand anything in the scriptures, will say that season, what they are describing as a season. And really, you know what it is many times is that what they were doing has become monotonous. It's boring. in more than 20 years of pastoring, I can't tell you how many times people have said, this season, you know, is a different season. You know, what I was doing, and it's spiritually, and even from what you sense in the spirit, there's no indication to what they are saying, but they have concluded that the season has wrapped up. And in most cases, I thought about that earlier actually, in most cases when people use those expressions, really most of, and I know that a lot of times it's an escape hatch. It's a way to get out of what they're doing. And unfortunately, there's nothing wrong with sensing, I've been doing this for a while and I think I can, maybe there's more God wants me to do or some, but we are not the ones who make that determination. The Lord does. And when the Lord does, He makes it very clear, it's very obvious. Not just to us, but to everyone concerned and everyone that is involved and everyone that could be affected and impacted by what we're doing and what we want to do now. I know faithfulness, to be faithful, consistently doing the same, is hard, it's tough. That's why many people can't do it. It's tough. Sticking with the same thing and doing the same, it gets really difficult sometimes. I know not long ago, I remember I was saying to the Lord, I'm going to stay faithful to doing these services and doing these teachings and doing these Bible studies. I don't really care. I'm not going to look at anything. I'm just going to stay faithful. I don't look at anything. I'm just going to stay faithful and keep teaching and keep teaching your word and keep doing and keep putting it out. I know I'm not going to do this forever. But if you want me to do it forever, okay, here I am, Lord. I'll keep doing it until you say stop. And I know in my personal life, as in yours, there are things that you've done. We've done in our past that we did for so long, and we just kept doing it. And, you know, sometimes people may even assume you will do it forever. Even you may have thought, I'll do it forever. And suddenly the Lord says, okay, we're done with this now. And I have something more for you to do. And I've prepared somebody else to take on what you used to do. And it's very obvious to you, and it's very obvious to everybody else involved. And then you go on and there's this new grace and there's this new level. But we don't just create that out. We don't create that escape route just because we're just tired of the same thing we have been doing. No. we stay faithful. And I remember when I said to them, I'm just going to stay faithful. He said, good, because that refreshes me. Stay faithful. Just keep doing it. And I know, just like, you know, I'm sure you have experienced this. Some of the things I've done over the years in the past, I did with everything, did for many years. And even I thought I'll do it forever. And some of the people that benefited from me thought I'll do it forever. So, yeah, he'll do it forever. And suddenly the Lord said, okay, we're done with that now. I have more. And he moved me on. And then something they'll say, you know, we wish you would come. And then I said, no, I'm done with that. I'm done with that. He said, you be faithful. I'll be faithful. God said, that refreshes me. Stay faithful. Keep on doing like you will do it forever. And if he decides, okay, we're done with this now. I want you to do more, something more, and I've prepared somebody else to do what you're doing. Let's move you. He'll make it clear to you, to everybody else involved. But there are blessings in faithfulness. There are amazing rewards in faithfulness. It is faithfulness that qualifies you. Years ago, and something's coming out of those series of messages. Years ago, the Lord made it clear to me, the key to the double-digit blessing is the spirit of faithfulness. The key. Everybody asks for double portion. Everybody asks for double anointing, double grace. Everybody wants full measure, exceeding abundant. That's, remember that scripture in Ephesians 3:20? That became like the mainstay, our grandfather mainstay scripture. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, unto him be glory, both now and forever in the church. Well, it's exceeding abundantly. The key to it is faithfulness. The key to the overflow is faithfulness. We can quote the scripture, we can love it, we can want it, we can desire, we can articulate the request, but faithfulness puts us in a good place to receive that blessing that has been promised us. Ooh, glory. Say this with me. Make a confession of faith. Say, I'm faithful. I'm faithful to my assignment. I'm faithful to my calling. I'm faithful to the Lord. I'm faithful to the Lord. I'm faithful. I'm just like Lydia. I'm faithful. I do regularly. I do regularly everything that has been assigned to me. I do consistently. I'm just like Cornelius. I do consistently. There is no quitting in me. I'm faithful. I'm faithful to the Lord. I'm faithful to my assignment. I'm faithful to my calling. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. When you are that way, answers to prayers. Answers to requests. Just like that. Answers. The faithful man or woman, the Bible says, will abound in blessings. That is, you receive so many answers to prayers. You receive so many blessings in your life. You don't have enough room. It will be exceeding abundantly. But it's the faithful man or woman. Not everybody. He said, but I thought you said if you ask, whatever you ask, you will receive. Yeah, that's why we're talking about what impacts you're asking. Because it's not just a blank check. If it was a blank check, Satan would be the most prosperous person on earth. He would be the most blessed person on earth. But you know, he's the most unfaithful. So he cannot be blessed. There's zero possibility, zero chance that Satan can be blessed. He cannot be blessed. Because he's the most unfaithful person on earth. And he's at the root of unfaithfulness. You know where he fell from? You know why he fell? Because he couldn't continue to do regularly, consistently, reliably, the assignments that God had put on his life. Our time is going here. Let's go here. Let's look at this story in the Old Testament. This is where I think we're going to close tonight. Hallelujah. I really did want to devote a full teaching service to talking about faithfulness, the spirit of faithfulness, and how that impacts our asking and receiving. The spirit of faithfulness, how that impacts our asking and receiving. I want us to go here. I'm watching my time. I want us to go and let's go read in 2 Kings. You know, this story is a very popular one, but let's read it. Let's read it before we close out tonight. And I don't want to abbreviate this one. Initially, I thought while I was rushing for time, I'll just abbreviate. No, I'm not going to abbreviate. I want to read it. And I want you to read it with me. So grab your Bibles. 2 Kings, let's read from chapter 2 and verse 1. We're going to go all the way. It's a long one. We're going to go all the way to verse 14. If I need to make a couple of comments as we go, I will. I think I have a little bit of time, just a little above 10 minutes here to wrap this up. And I think we can do it. We can do it. The Holy Spirit will help us. But let's read this story. It came to pass that when the Lord will take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. That's where they started from. Elijah was the prophet of God. Elisha was his servant. And the time came that the Lord was going to take Elijah away. And his servant, Elisha, was riding with him. They started from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. Meaning, stay here. Stay here in Gilgal, because the Lord has sent me to do an assignment in Bethel. Well, how did Elisha respond to that? Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down together to Bethel. I will not leave you. I will not leave you. Notice, he's sticking with that assignment. He's the man's servant. I will not leave you. He's not doing it because he wants something. He's doing it because he accepts it as his calling. I will not leave you. As the Lord liveth, he's quoting the Lord. Who gave him that answer? As the Lord liveth and as your soul, I will not leave you. I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving you. Some people would have been praying for this. I can hardly wait for the day he'll let me just leave. For the day he'll just tell me, you know, yeah, you can go do whatever you want to do now. He said, no, I'm not leaving you. Verse 3, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from your head today? And he said, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. Don't worry, I know it. They were telling him, the Lord is taking this man. So he already knew it. And he decided, I'm going to serve him till the end. The Lord is about to take him. I'm going to serve him till the end. Elijah didn't tell him, but he knew it by the Spirit. And he decided, I'm going to stay faithful to the end. You know, faithfulness, the judgment, or the test of faithfulness is that we carry that thing out to the end. We do it fully to the end. That's the test of faithfulness. The test of faithfulness is not for us to be telling everyone how long we have done it for. If we have not done it to the end, we don't qualify to talk about how faithful we've been. There's always a beginning and there's always an end. And the Lord is the one who fixes those times, not us. And when the Lord says, you've done it to the end, now, take on something new or something different. Hey, you can look back and say, wow, praise God. Thank you, Lord, I've been faithful. Thank you, Lord, I've been faithful to that. I've been faithful to God and I've been faithful to that assignment. But you can just, none of us in the middle of the assignment can just jump up and say, I've been faithful. I think it's time to, no. The test of faithfulness is we do it to the end. And who determines the end? The Lord. Not us. Many of the people who told me over the several years, almost over 20 years, people who said to me, and I've been in my season, and I'm going on to do it. I found out most of them never did those assignments they said they were going to do. They didn't do it. You know why they didn't do it? They could not. They wanted to, but they could not. The grace was not given them. The true riches, the enablement, the empowerment that they needed. Some of it was real big, highfalutin ministry dreams that many of the people had. Good dreams. Nothing wrong with them. Very good dreams. Very good thoughts and good aspirations. I mean, and I'm not going to bore you with some of the specific details. But they couldn't do it. They wanted to, but they could not. They could not. They could not. In fact, I'll never forget there was a particular minister. It was just a 3-month difference. They said to me, and in praying, the Lord had put that in my spirit to give them a time, which was about 3 months after the time they had picked. They picked a time that was 3 months behind. And I said, you know, in praying, I kind of sense the Lord wants you to make this, do this in August. Oh, they said, no, I have to do it in June. I said, well, you know, in praying, the Lord said for me to tell you to do this in August. Oh, no, I have to do it in June. And what I found out afterwards was the June was tied to the summer. In their mind, they had this opportunity to do it in June. It was the summer. And, you know, when you live in a cold place, anywhere cold in Ohio, in Cleveland especially, which at that time it was in Cleveland. The summers are very precious. People plan a lot of big things for summer. And they use that. It's strategic planning and all of that. I better get ready to close this. My time is almost up. I will finish. I got to finish this. But the Lord said, give them August. They said, no, I have to go into June. Guess what? The Lord never gave them the grace to do it. 10 years later, I checked back. They still couldn't do it. 10 years. Because they didn't get the grace for it. Let's read on here. So I won't leave you. And Elijah said, and verse 5, the sons of the prophets again were at Jericho. They came to Elijah and said to him, do you know the Lord will take away your sight? He said, I know it. Hold your peace. Verse 6, and Elijah said unto him, tarry here. I pray the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And Elijah said, as your soul liveth, as the Lord liveth, I will. And the two of them went. And 50 sons of the prophets stood to view afar off. And they stood by the Jordan. Verse 8, let's read. I'm rushing now. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters that were divided here and there. So the two of them went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, I love this. It came to pass in verse, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask. This is where I'm coming to. When they passed over on the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, ask now. Articulate your request. What do you want? Listen. He said, ask what I shall do for you. He didn't ask when they were in Gilgal. He didn't ask when they were in Bethel. He didn't ask when they were at the Jordan. He asked after they crossed. He said, now ask. Ask. And there's so many people who hear the scriptures. The Lord say, ask whatever you will, it will be done. And it's okay, ask. But they don't realize there's faithfulness right there. Faithfulness qualifies you. Impact your ability to ask and receive. He said, ask now what I shall do for you before I'm taken away from you. And then Elijah said, I pray you. Now he's asking. He articulates, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Now, listen to what Elijah said. He said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken away from you, it will be so. But if not, it shall not be so. If you see me, condition. If you are faithful, and you last till the end. And you are there when I'm taking, it will happen. Let's read it to the end. And it came to pass as they still went on verse 11 and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. He saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took hold of the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. And he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan, exactly what Elijah had done. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he has smitten the waters, they parted here and there, and Elisha went over. Hallelujah. Woo! He received that double portion, received that double digit blessing. He received it because of his faithfulness. You think if he got that mantle and he was not faithful, he would have been a double portion? No, he would not. No, he would not. In fact, he would not have been able to get that mantle. Folks, let's close. Our faithfulness puts us in a good place to receive. Please be faithful. Whatever the Lord has given you, assigned you, be faithful. Be faithful to Him. Be faithful to the assignment He's committed to you. Be faithful to your journey. Be faithful to your walk. Be faithful to the Word of God. Be faithful. Be faithful. And the more and more and more committed you are, the more regular you are, the more faithful, the more consistent, the greater and greater blessings you will experience in your life. Somebody say, I receive that. I receive that in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you tonight. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for this service. Thank you, God, for teaching us from your word. Precious Holy Spirit, we give you praise. I bless all of my brothers and sisters tonight as we close. I thank you, God, for the blessings of faithfulness that are working in their lives and in their families. I give you all the glory and I give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.